here in Joshua. And I, honestly, as I thought about it this afternoon, I think Pastor, who I hope is not listening, I think he preached this one time when we took the kids away, and we're taking them to the youth conference up in North Carolina. And so, for those of you that, well, probably all these kids are too young, so they probably didn't hear it. But really, talking here in Joshua 4, and I wanted to read all those verses together, because really what God's talking about here is building memorials to him in our lives and in understanding. And it got me thinking about how do we remember. And as I mentioned, I am not a very smart guy, so I'm not going to get scientific. I'm not going to get that, because I can't. You know, Pastor, I love Pastor. He sits up here and tells you that he's not into science, and then gives you all these great science facts, right? He's like the smartest guy I've ever known. And he could be anything he wanted to be, and thankfully he's a pastor. But I did read this, and it kind of made me think. It says, fundamentally, our memory represents a change in who we are. Our habits, our ideologies, our hopes, our fears are all influenced by what we remember of our past. And at the most basic level, we remember because the connections between our brain's neurons change. See, neurons, they lose me there. I can't. Each experience primes the brain for the next experience so that the physical stuff we were made of reflects our history like mountains reflect geologic areas. Memory also represents a change in who we are because it's predictive of who we will become. Think of this in terms of who we are as Christians and how God works in our lives. We remember things more easily, and this is something that struck me, if we've been exposed to similar things before. So what we remember from the past has a lot to do with what we can learn in the future. And like I said, that struck me, you know, in my faith and understanding that the closer and the more I'm walking with God, the more I can draw on those memories and those memorials. And we look here in Joshua and we see, you know, God giving them a commandment to build these memorials because he knows our mind. He knows how we forget. And you think about things that you remember well. Remember times when you were afraid. My dad was in the Air Force, and we grew up on the Air Force base and then moved off base. And I can tell you, 42 years later, when I was 10 years old, my mom, I have no idea what she was thinking of, but we were driving, the runway came right out to the road, and the jets would fly right in. Her car stalled. She could have coasted, you know, several hundred yards past the runway, but she put the brakes on right at the foot of the runway, and every plane that came by looked like it was going to land us. I've never been so scared in my life. I remember that because I was scared to death. And so we remember those kinds of things. We remember times where we shared a special place. You know, Stephanie's reminded me multiple times this summer about a trip we took when Evan and Donna and their kids went to North Captiva, and that was her favorite memory of vacation together. We remember times that we spend as family on family vacations. I could tell you every family vacation we've taken since Jan and I were married, and those are the things that stick in my mind. And Pastor and I have talked about it several times, that as parents, a lot of what we're doing is building those memories for our kids that knit us together. When you think about your families, what knits you together? It's the memories of things that you did together, right? And so it's important. I can remember the time that I proposed to Jan. She wishes she couldn't remember the time I proposed to her, but I remember proposing to Jan. I remember taking her mom to find just the right ring and picking that out, and then having you know, planning out the entire evening on how I was going to propose to her, and messed it all up. But we're married. So, and then most importantly, we remember the time. Hopefully, we remember the time we're saved, right? And I can remember bowing my head with my mom. And any of you that know my mom, she's got a really special place in my heart because when I was 13, she had been saved, and I can remember bowing my head in our home in Orlando and praying to receive Christ as a boy. And that's always going to be a special thing that my mom and I share together. And I'm thankful for that. But then you say, okay, those are great. You know, those memories are all great. Why do we forget? Men forget because they want to forget, right? I mean, my wife would tell me that. But we forget because other memories interfere. We can only fit so much in our brain, right? And so sometimes we forget because of that. Sometimes the data is never stored in the first place. We get distracted or whatever, and it just never quite gets stored. And then this is actually, you know, scientific, but I'm taking it and making it non-scientific, motivated forgetting, and that's kind of that selective memory kind of idea. How can we possibly, as Christians, forget what God's done for us? Through salvation, through answered prayers throughout our lives, through blessings in our lives, family and homes, and all the things that we in America certainly should never forget all the blessings we have. They're right in front of us all the time, right? And how about even trials that are used to help us grow? We ought to remember those things. And as you sit here and think about it, we think, well, there's no way I could possibly ever forget that, right? But God realizes that we often do forget. And if you look, just flip back in Deuteronomy, if you would, for a minute. And the children of Israel, you think about them and the lessons we can learn from them. And I know as a kid growing up in church, hearing the stories of the children of Israel and how they served the Lord and fell away and served the Lord and fell away, at some point you go, how stupid are these people, right? But then you realize, that's me, right? I'm exactly the same way. And so in Deuteronomy 6 and 10, it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all goods, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. And here's the warning that he has. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I go, how could they possibly forget seeing the Red Sea parted? How could they possibly forget the plagues that were thrown on the Egyptians when they were in Egypt? How could they forget the destruction of the Egyptian army as it chased them? How could they forget the provision that God gave them? Here they have cities that they didn't build. They have homes they didn't build. They have vineyards they didn't plant. And God's warning them that they need to remember, that they will forget. And they did forget, right? And we forget so easily. The word here in verse 7, where in Joshua 4 and verse 7, says, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off. It's talking about the answer they're supposed to give their children. And at the end it says, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. That word literally means to remember. And given our propensity to forget, it's little wonder then that God has used memorials throughout his word as ways to remind us. You know, Moses built an altar out of stones to commemorate God's covenant with Israel on Mount Sinai. And it's an amazing thing. And I think there's a few reasons. Actually, it's funny, as I was preparing, there's always only 3 points to any sermon, right? How's that? Boy, that's an amazing thing. I couldn't come up with a fourth. So there's three things that I think God would want us to learn as we look at this and understand. First of all, and I want to challenge you guys as you're going off to the wilds to think on these things. I think Pastor, when he spoke on this, he actually gave the kids little stones. And I thought about that, but then I remembered who's going on the trip. Just saying. He throws everything. If you've ever seen him throw a baseball, you know he throws everything. But so I didn't do that. But the first thing is that it's a time of remembering what God has done. You know, in verse 7, again, back there, he says, then ye shall answer them, when they're talking to their children, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it was passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be made for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know, God has done so much. And so they were being a reminder of their own personal experience. You know, for us, salvation is personal. Our relationship with God is personal. And I want to challenge you guys as you go. It's not about your mom and dad's relationship with the Lord. It's about your relationship. And this week is a time where you can look back later in life and say, you know what, God was there. When I was up in North Carolina, yeah, we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of great things, but God was there. And you can look back on that and see how he worked in your life if you're open to it. At your young age, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, really, so I didn't go off to Christian camp. You guys have a great opportunity. And so don't, you know, you need to take advantage of it. And, you know, what kind of memorials, it made me think, what kind of memorials do we have in our lives? You know, whether we realize it or not, we all have them. We may not have a rock set up somewhere. I'm not suggesting that. But it's built of memories, and we need to recognize that God has worked in our lives all along the way, even sometimes when we don't see it. And how often do we actually sit down and think about it? And think about the people that God's used in our lives, and think about how they've drawn us to the Lord. I had a blessing. I went to a public high school in the 1980s when it was still quasi okay to mention the Lord. And I had a coach that finished every practice talking about our three priorities. Number one is God, number two is family, and number three was our schoolwork. And then he said basketball comes somewhere after that. He's a good Christian guy, and he was a major influence in my life. And so, you know, God has put people in my life along the way that have encouraged me in the faith. How often do I actually sit down and say, you know, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for a godly wife that you've given me that encourages me to love the Lord more. And we need to do that. And these memories, the point here is that God knows how we think, right? He knows how we're made. He made us. And he tells the children of Israel to make a memorial. Can you imagine if you just walk through the Jordan and the water had stopped and you walk across on dry land? Can you imagine ever forgetting that? Or who did it? I can't, but I know I would, because we're no different, right? And so God calls on us to have memorials in our life. Secondly, they were to be a basis to share their faith with their children. And we just read that in verse 7, right? Every memorial that we have, everything that we've done, how the Lord has blessed us, ought to be something that encourages us to share that with our kids. I know I'm guilty of not doing that as much as I should, and I need to do a better job of that. And so I'm challenging myself here to do that. And, you know, the kids are going to see the stones, and they're going to ask questions, but what's our answer to them? What are we going to say to them? Hopefully we're going to point them to the Lord, and that's exactly what God wanted them to do. In verse 21 through 23, it says, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." And they probably would sit there and go, "Yeah, right. Come on, Dad. What? Yeah." Just like our kids do, right? "Oh, Dad, you're being corny." Oops, sorry. Right? They say we're being corny. But that's what our job is, no matter what their reaction is. It says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." That's the challenge to us to understand for our kids. You know, if you think about it, and this happened for Israel in many ways, Christianity is really never more than one generation away from being completely extinct. That's a scary thought if you think about it, right? And America could become, you know, the way we're headed, we could become Exhibit A for that. You got 1962, prayer was declared illegal in schools. Well, that didn't stop prayer in schools, but you couldn't have sponsored prayer. 1963, Bible reading was banned in schools. 1980, declared illegal to post the Ten Commandments in schools. Taking one nation under God out of our pledge. All the different things that we think about. And God's warning to Israel here, if we look back at Deuteronomy again, and it's a warning to us as well. Deuteronomy 6 and 12 through 15, kind of continuing on from where we were. It says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." You know, the Lord here warns them and gives them a warning not to let the environment around them or the secular society around them influence their thinking or influence their faith. And again, you look at that and you go, wow, how could that happen? But it did, and it happened very quickly. And it happens for us very quickly. We live in a very perverse world. We live in a very perverse country. And it's easy for us to lose sight of what the Lord's done and what he's doing and how he's still working, even in spite of all the things that are going on in our country. God's still at work. God's still at work here. But we've got to be right with him to be able to be used. And so you see the full warning here that God gave them. And that warning is to us. And then also the memorial was to be a signpost to a lost world. Continuing on in Joshua 4, and I'm jumping back and forth, and I apologize for that. I'm not nearly as good at kind of referencing back and forth as Pastor, obviously. But the last thing is it's to be a signpost, or last point of this is that that memorial is to be a signpost to a lost world. It says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know, ultimately, once we get saved, our job is to see others get saved. And that's what God wants, obviously. And we know that, right? But we forget sometimes. I know I can. I get busy and I'm doing my thing and I'm working and whatever. And I forget about the people around me that are hurting because they're headed to hell. And God here is saying, you know what? This memorial, it's not just for you. It's not just for you. It's not just us here. We've got a whole community around us that needs the Lord. And so these stones, no, they're not just for us. They're for others to see and ask us, what means these stones, right? And so first thing is that those stones were to be a remembrance of what the Lord had done. Next thing was it was a time to renew commitment. And if you look at verse 8, it says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. And as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodge, and laid them down there." You know, Joshua not only issued the order for them to do this, Joshua went into the middle of the river himself and put his own stones up. And again, I challenge you, youth, don't just think about, well, my mom and dad are saved, so that makes me saved. That's not true. You've heard it said that God has no grandchildren, only children, right? Don't rest on your mom and dad's faith. Use this week as an opportunity to make sure that you have a saving knowledge. Joshua didn't just tell the people to go do it. This was a personal thing for him. Verse 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, stood, and they are there to this day." You know, once they had the order, Joshua made sure that he had a role for himself here. And this was a pivotal time for him. It was representative of a very pivotal point in his walk with the Lord. And it's not enough that we just come to church and corporate worship. We have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's so important. In verse 15 through verse 18, it says, "And the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come out of the Jordan. And so Joshua commanded the priests come up out of the Jordan. The priests came out. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And no sooner had they set their feet on dry ground that the waters of the Jordan returned." And you know what? That had to be an amazing day, right? I've never seen anything like that. But what I have seen is people get saved. What I have seen is I've seen myself get saved. That's a miracle in itself. Every bit as much more, really, than the miracle that we're talking about tonight. And so it ought to encourage us in our faith. It ought to challenge us in our faith. And for you kids, it ought to challenge you as you get ready to go. And the last thing was, it was a time to put away old defeats. You think about the children of Israel. They wandered around for 40 years, right? Completely out of God's design and hadn't put their faith in him. And verse 19 and 20 says, "And the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Now, like I told you before, I am not a Bible scholar. Anybody that knows me knows that I am very far from it. But as I read this week, it struck me, and I went back to Deuteronomy in that 10th day of the first month, and it is exactly 40 years of the day that when they celebrated the first Passover and came out of Egypt. And God led them out. And leaving the edge of the river, the Israelites went to a place called Gilgal. And so I thought, man, you know, Pastor's always so good about telling us what the words in the Bible mean. I'm terrible at knowing what they are, so I looked it up. And Gilgal, actually, and it's interesting, Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. It literally means rolled away. But it's the reproach has been rolled away. And 40 years of spiritual defeat that the Israelites suffered was rolled away. You know, they refused. They had a selfish refusal to completely serve God. And under Moses, and now those days were gone. All the complaining that they did in the wilderness, those days were gone. All the wandering in the wilderness was behind them, and now there were people who had a new sense of purpose, right? And they were determined to take the territory that God had promised them. And likewise, for us today, we ought to be able to look back, see what God's done in our lives, look at the monuments that we have in our lives. We're going to have failures. We're failed, right? We're sinners. We fall all the time. But we ought to recognize that. See, look back and see what God has done in our lives and let that encourage us to push forward. Put those defeats behind and not live in those defeats. Too often we get defeated and then we live in them, right? You look I love sports, so I look at losing teams, and what ends up happening is they get complacent. They get fine with losing. It's okay, we just lost another game. So what? And that's the difference between the guys that actually push forward and win and the guys that lose all the time. Well, as Christians, we ought to be winners all the time because we know the end of the story. We know who's in control. And so the Lord here is giving us a reminder that, you know what, yeah, you may have some defeats in your past, but no matter what, I've been with you the whole time, and you can build on those. So when we look at this, guys, you know, I want to challenge you guys as you to remember what God's done, to have a renewed commitment this week to the Lord. Use this week wisely and put away your past defeats, any of them you had. Whatever's going on, maybe you've had the worst week all week with your parents. Maybe, right? But you got a chance now to go make it better. God can be right there with you, and you can come back totally different if you'll go with the right attitude and the right heart. For us, it's the same thing. And as the youth go to the wilds this week, I want to challenge you. Let this week be a week where you look back and you remember what the Lord's done. And for us, as adults, we ought to remember all the things that God's done for us. Be thankful. You know, there's nothing better than a thankful person. They're fun to be around because they're thankful for everything that they have. That's one of the things I love about Pastor. He preached last week. I texted him after his message. I said, you know, when he preached on thankfulness, and I said, man, coming from your position where you are right now and what you're going through, to preach about being thankful, that's powerful. That's really powerful. And that's something that I know I need more, is to be more thankful and recognize what God's done. And the way I can do that is look back and see all the things he's done all the way along the way.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful message we've heard this evening. It was a challenge to our young people, but it is also a challenge to every single one of us as well. I ask you to change our hearts. Help us to be people. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I thank you that my dad made that decision. I'm grateful for every single person in this room who has made that choice. Help us all to make that choice tonight, Lord. Bless this invitation as we begin, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.